Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House on Southwest Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts of the Blind Handyman Show, Don Patterson.
Hey, Tom, good to be here.
Hey, Don. Don Shaw's here with us, folks.
Hey there, Mr. Tom.
Hey, good to have you with us, buddy. I'm Tom Houston, but here's the creator and the producer of Blind Handyman. Here's Phil Parr.
I don't want to be here right now. This is the false start show. We do these. We record these. We do several. Is this your cell phone? It's turned off, of course, so it won't ring while the show's going.
Actually, no.
I don't care if it rings or not. We do these shows. We record them on two different formats. We record them on a CD recorder, a standalone CD recorder, and we record them also on a digital audio tape machine, a DAT machine. And we had a problem. Neither one of them were working a while ago. I think if we're not recording, as you said, John Connolly can just do the show from memory.
Yeah, he'll just repeat it. Word for word.
Repeat the entire show. And speaking of John Connolly, our friends from Dallas, doggone it, are still here
They're still here. Unfortunately.
They're just hanging around. So obviously,
Robert, where are you?
Man. Obviously, we did two shows in one day. So they're still here. John Connolly and Brother John Bennett. How are you, sir?
Here, hanging in.
Hanging in. Is John's mic on?
No, it's not. It's not on.
No. What happened?
Yeah, it's on. It's on. Get up there.
Yeah, you're on.
No, his mic's not on.
Is there a little switch on his mic?
I don't know.
He must be.
John Bennett's mic.
Okay, say something, John.
I don't know.
There we go.
Are we there?
He had turned his mic on, Pat had unplugged his earphones, the DAT machine quit working, the CD recorder quit working. If one more thing happens, guys, I'm out of here.
I think we need a blind technician here for the audio thing.
Yeah, we need something, don't we?
Yeah.
Anyway, we think we're recording. Anyway, John is from Dallas. And, John, how well do you see, you're called a what, a good partial?
A good partial. I think we went through that one time before.
Well, yeah, but that was on another show, sir. That was a week ago.
We were. That's right. We are a high partial and sometimes higher than others.
Yeah. Well, you got to tell the same joke twice, didn't you?
And
besides that, things can change in a week.
Maybe there's new people that
will never know.
Exactly. Things can change in a week. John and I have, and I guess Pat also, I forgot on the other show to mention, Don, how long you've known John Bennett for a number
of years? Since 1950.
Same year.
Same year. So we were both at the School for the Blind at the same time. This is in Austin, Texas, School for the Blind. John, you came in 50.
In September of 50,
so they brought you from El Paso to Austin, and you had no idea how bad your life was going to become, did you?
No, I had no idea, but it drifted south real quick.
And the first person you met was Crabby Abby Young, I suppose, right?
Yes, uh-huh. Good supervisor.
She was?
Wonderful supervisor.
She was a mean old woman.
And I always thought about, I won't talk about this.
You're the one who hit her in the belly with a mop, aren't you, Bennett?
No, that was a guy by the name of Carol Grissom, if he's out there. He was the gentleman that did that.
Anyway, we all kind of went to school together. I don't know if we never all three roomed together. John and I roomed together, and Pat and I roomed together at different times, but I don't think we ever all three roomed together. Of course, Tom Houston is here. Tom has a 20/20 vision. He drives a car, and that's why we have him here, because he can help us.
That's the only reason.
No, we love you. Tom Houston and I have been friends since 1973, so these are just some old friends. Don Shaw is here, and Don sees a little better than I do, but not much.
And John Connolly and I actually went to the same school, but just in a different
later on time.
So we're all alumnus, with the exception of Houston, of the Texas School for the Blind.
Alumnus or fugitives?
Fugitives.
That sounds more
probably
like it.
Fugitives.
Prisoners. We were prisoners.
So you know you're in trouble when you go to a blind school that has a 6-foot-high stone wall in front of it. You know.
That might be a clue.
Wasn't there when I was there. We took it down.
Yeah,
you know that these clowns have nothing good in mind for you, you know?
That could be a clue when you got there.
Yeah, big 6-foot, and it was there at one time, the big
man.
They say it's a country club now compared to what it was, though, so.
John and me went there, it wasn't bad. Compared to what y'all are talking about, it was great.
It would have to be better because it couldn't have been any worse, as far as I'm concerned.
It was better. Definitely it was better.
We got to get some feedback. We're trying to elicit feedback. If anyone has any Texas School for the Blind stories, we'd certainly like to hear them. Oh, let me mention real quick, I forgot to print this. I got an email from my friend Burns Taylor. Burns is out in El Paso. I think John Bennett knows him. Pat knows him.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, what his comment, he emailed me at my email address, which is philparr@txucom.net, if you would like to email me personally. Anyway, he said, with Don Patterson and Phil Parr in one room, we probably need some smelling salts. I think he was referring to our age. Of course, he's just as old as we are, so who needs him, you know?
That's right.
We may have Burns on as a guest. Burns does a lot of things. Burns is the first person I ever saw with a talking computer, and I thought, what a whiz kid he
really
is. And so he called me and asked me what CD burner to buy the other day. Made me feel real good. Burns is out in El Paso. I think he works for the Commission for the Blind.
That's
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh. And you said a while ago, I'd like to add something. You said that you maybe if anybody out there had any TSB stories, Texas School of Blind. But actually, if you went to any blind school, we might like to send us an email and just let us know. And
compare notes.
That's right.
Yeah, we're just trying to get a little feedback. Well, it is the Blind Handy Man. This is show number 15. Is that right, Donald Shaw?
Yeah, 15.
He's kind of our statistician. We of course have access to the newspapers provided by NFB, as everybody does. If you don't know about this, you need to find out about it. There are 50 plus newspapers that can be read verbally, that can be read orally on the telephone by just dialing a toll free number.
And the number is.
Do you know it?
Yes, I do.
Well, you know what? You just happen to know it.
Everybody grab their slates and stylus.
That's right.
And okay. Your Braille notes.
And your Braille notes. We'll give them a chance to get their Braille notes. Okay, Connor,
all right,
go.
Charlie, I think you're ready.
The number is 1-888-821. Wait.
He forgot the number.
It's 1-888-882-1629.
That's right.
882-1629.
1-888-882-1629. So give them your access number and your code, Conley, and they could read the newspapers with your...
That's right.
Yes, we had that. But anyway, they require proof of blindness. They want to know that you're legally blind that you're legally blind if you use this service. But it's real, and it's provided by the National Federation of Blind. And we read, I don't know how you discovered this, Shaw, but Shaw told me about it 3 months ago about a thing called circuits.
I told him about it.
Actually,
that.
John Conley told me about it.
Well, I knew it was secondhand some way. Nobody ever tells me. I never know anything.
It's in the Wall Street Journal. It's in the Chicago Tribune every Thursday.
No, it's in the New York Times, sir, every Thursday.
That's right.
It's in the New York Times every
Thursday. Yeah, I'm all mixed up.
You are. Why don't turn his mic off?
But it's a fine.
These articles are called circuits, and they are concerning technology. They talk about computers and new things concerning computers and how to upgrade computers and the best way to do things. And it's 18 or 20 short, about 5-minute articles about computers.
Yeah, all the things we like to hear about.
And so you can read through them, and you don't have to read them all. You can do Article 1. If you don't like it, you can skip to 2 by just pushing a button on your phone. Anyway, it's very neat. Most of you probably already know about that. But circuits in the New York Times, go read it every Thursday if you're into computers like we are. And I stumbled across this little article in Circuits a couple weeks ago and got Tom to go get it and print it, and he's going to read it to you, okay?
Okay, the title of the article is Step-by-Step Prompts Put the Blind Back on Track, and here it is. An interactive personal navigation system developed at the University of Florida could someday guide blind people through corridors and along busy city sidewalks. That a system combines off-the-shelf hardware, software, and a voice-controlled interface of the student's own design. It communicates wirelessly with widely available but little-known databases of detailed geographic information that can quickly be updated to reflect changing conditions. The project began as a master's thesis project for Steve Moore when he was a computer science student at the university's Gainesville campus. When the user gives voice commands to ask for directions, the system responds with verbal instructions, giving distances in feet, and providing corrective guidance along the way. Right now, we have it down to feet, but we're working on calibrating it with your stride length, Mr. Moore said. There are so many little things to work on, and there are only a few of us. The system can reroute users around trouble spots that may develop on short notice, like construction sites or big crowds, and can describe points along routes. Mr. Moore began the project in 1999 and has since enlisted two other students, Balaji Ramachandran and Lisa Rand, to add expertise in geographical information systems and indoor navigation. And Mr. Moore's father, Theril, an associate professor of mathematics on the same campus, helped test the system. Professor Moore, who is totally blind, says he does not ordinarily walk around on the busy campus without an escort, but when testing the system, he said he felt much better about trying, and I could actually head out to go to another building and feel comfortable, he said. The system is named Drishti, and that's for vision in Sanskrit, and the students expect that it can be configured to work in cities and airports and on other campuses. Now, features like its voice-controlled interface and dynamic capabilities distinguish it from navigation systems available for the blind today. The heart of the system is a wearable computer. It's about the size of a thick paperback book, which is worn on the user's waist, runs Windows 98, and is voice-controlled with an interface that uses IBM's Via Voice software. The computer is connected to a global positioning system receiver carried on the user's back, which keeps track of the latitude and longitude. It also gets data from the university's Geographical Information System, or GIS, a dynamic layout of the Gainesville campus that can be updated by campus officials as they learn about trouble spots like construction sites. As the user navigates the route given by the computer, the system compares data from the GPS receiver with data from the GIS to refine the route and warn if the user is straying off course or even away from the center of the sidewalk. Professor Moore said the system designed by his son could greatly benefit the visually impaired, although he would prefer that the equipment were less bulky. You can't demand luxuries when you're in a predicament like mine, so I can tolerate it, he said. The professor overseeing Drishti, Sami Hala, said the next step would be to seek grant money, recruit more students for the effort, and refine it with smaller technologies and enhancements. One improvement on which they're now working is indoor navigation. In the current system, the GPS receiver loses the satellite signal inside buildings, but by placing ultrasonic transmitters on the building's ceilings and receivers on the computer, Professor Hela said the system could continue to provide directions, guiding the user up stairways, along corridors, and to restrooms, classrooms, and other locations stored in the university's database. The system could be expanded to cities or other campuses by reconfiguring it to draw on the GIS databases of those entities. Now, these geographical databases are growing in popularity among municipalities and institutions, and Mr. Moore said that Drishti could pull information from many of them over the Internet. ESRI, a leading maker of GIS software, said that many of them are already shared across the Internet. Now, Drishti has already attracted outside interest. Voxit, a Swedish software company that is seeking to develop a similar system, is negotiating with the University of Florida to obtain a replica of Drishti in the hope of testing a version along footpaths and roads in the Swedish city of Borlänge. Now, we intend to test the prototype with a group of people with different kinds of visual impairment, said Leif Bergman, project manager for Voxit, which makes speech recognition software. And Mr. Moore estimated that it would be about 2 years before a Drishti-like product became commercially available, with a big hurdle being gaining access to public and private GIS databases. It shouldn't be too far away, he said.
Well, so being blind is just not going to be any fun anymore, is it?
No more running into walls.
Well, I mean,
no more falling in holes.
No more falling in holes. No more cracking your noggin on patio posts and Cottage K. No more falling in bios as you're peddling brooms down the street. No more of that blind stuff that we used to have so much fun.
No more falling in pools.
Boy,
no more,
but it would sure probably progress depending on where you were, because we can't hardly get a cell phone call out of Lufkin, so I'd hate to be some guy stumbling around here depending on GIS.
I'll tell you what, I bet there's a GIS database for Lufkin, Texas.
Oh, I'm certain.
I bet there is. If you knew how to access it, I bet it was leftlufkintexas.com or whatever the city's website is. I bet it's done. But and GPS receivers, global positioning systems, will just get smaller and smaller.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Pretty soon they'll be the size of transistor radios.
Oh, and they're everywhere now. I mean, some cars come equipped with them already.
Oh,
just
sure.
A part of it, and boats, and So it's just a matter of time before you have, like, the personalized ones.
So it's a natural thing to guide blind people, and that's there. I think there are other systems. I've read about some other people. So there'll be a system. The only problem with it is because the government buys these things, but agencies like the Commission for the Blind in different states and government buys them, the thing will be $10,000. You know,
yeah, they need to do something on the price. We've talked about that before, you know, amongst ourselves, never aired it, to other people. But just the prohibitive cost even of just adaptive technology for the individual if an agency doesn't provide it. Yeah. And in certain times in your life, they won't provide it, you know. Yeah. And,
JAWS is the most expensive piece of software I have ever seen in my life.
Well,
I mean, you can buy...
You can buy a whole new computer system, for a monitor, printer, and everything cheaper than you can buy.
For JAWS or Windows, Window Eyes isn't far behind.
Do you know? I don't know anybody that has Window Eyes. Do you? Anybody has?
Oh, yeah,
I think it went the same way of the Ernest Tubb box set. I'm not sure.
Window Eyes is a fine program. We're not knocking Window Eyes. It's a good program. We're not favoring it over JAWS or JAWS over
here. We're talking about Mr. John over here.
They're all too expensive.
So what they're saying, though, is you could be walking along and be totally blind, and after they install all this stuff in the buildings and everything, and you have a where somewhere that you're going to, you could say this into this little computer, and it will tell you, and it will eventually break it down into strides, your own stride, as to how many steps to take before you turn in.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
That's marvelous.
So what you just say is, where am I, guy? Come on.
And when you do it with some systems that are kind of already in place, you know, like in big public facilities, I think like in some major train stations and airports, they have frequencies that you can go to, you know, like on your radio. You know, like going to Houston Intercontinental Airport, you can turn your FM radio to the thing, and it tells you how to get to where you're going. Yeah. And so when they do this GPS along with existing stuff is going to be great.
And some places now have the talking signs where they'll transmit, and you have your little receiver.
I understand that's true. I think in certain countries they have a lot of those already.
Hey, blind people can start playing hide and go seek now and stuff like that.
That wasn't a real popular game at the blind school. hide and go seek. We didn't do a lot of that at blind school. Blind guys playing hide and go seek.
It's a great time to be blind if you got to be blind.
If you have to be blind, it's the best time to be blind with all the technology. I've never had any of my sighted friends say, "Boy, I sure wish I was blind." Haven't had that happen.
But you got to be.
If you got to do it, now's as good a time as any. Well, all right, we've killed 15 or 20 minutes here. We're going to come back, and Don Pat's going to talk about what, sir?
Well, I'm going to talk about kind of fixing up a room at a time and the old remodeling and what to do with old wallpaper.
Well, that'd be a good thing to talk about. We'll do that in just a few minutes. Back more on the Blind Handyman in just a minute.
ACB Radio Mainstream, now delivered live to your phone in the UK using phoneanything.com. The internet over the phone. www.phoneanything.com. As well as
ACB Radio Mainstream,
The Cafe,
ACB Radio Treasure Trove,
you can hear
live, unpredictable internet
on the ACB Radio Interactive. ACB Radio Interactive, playing music from
the 1930s and 40s,
the 50s and 60s,
the 1970s,
80s and 90s,
the hits of the new millennium.
ACB Radio Interactive comes to you from at least 6 time zones on 3 continents, bringing you the very best of
country,
top 40,
classic and modern rock,
new age,
folk,
the rare stuff out of the 50s,
jazz,
easy listening, adult contemporary,
and more. Live, unpredictable internet radio.
ACB Radio Interactive.
Don't risk the disappointment of missing a great ACB radio program. Join our announcements list today. Receive email about upcoming programs on all our channels and new features. To join, send a blank email now to announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
That's announce-subscribe at acbradio.org.
Visit our website. Announcements about ACB radio delivered to you direct and free. Just another way to stay in touch with ACB radio.
listening to The Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. If you have an idea for a topic or project you would like us to discuss, let us know at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, back to the show with Dawn Patterson.
All right, everybody.
Well, she sounds like she really likes you better than she does the rest
of us. Yeah, I've noticed that.
She really does.
I wish we could get Tom to play that again.
Don't let Emily hear that.
Oh, you mean that's not Emily?
Oh, that's... we can get her to do one for you if you want to.
All right. Well, today, you know, if everybody's been following the show, any at all, y'all know that I'm engaged in this massive house remodeling project. And actually, it started about 2 years ago. And, of course, living in the house and working on one is not something I would recommend, but sometimes that's all you can do. And so I started a room at a time, and I'm so close to the end. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I don't think it's a train coming at me. I think I'm going to be through here pretty quick. This house, taking what I'm going to talk today about, is how working around some problems, or maybe they're self-imposed problems. But anyway, I for one, do not care for wallpaper. Now, I know in bathrooms or above kitchen cabinets, a little bit is okay. But the house that I'm in and working on was built probably in 1970, 71. And it was back in the style then that every room had to have different wallpaper and every room had different color carpet. Of course, now the thing is all standard one color carpet. Berber's real popular now. And so when I started in the room that was used the least, this house has a formal living room in it, which I converted to office, computer room, kind of playroom, music room, et cetera. And it's away from the house and was not used very much. So I started my project, the remodeling, there. And in this case, all four walls were wallpapered, and so I wanted to get down to the sheetrock so I could texture and then go on about my business. Well, I bought a steamer to help take the wallpaper off. That didn't work. I took it back. You can buy very expensive solutions that are supposed to unglue the glue, and they didn't work any better. I finally decided if you have to remove it, just use warm water in a squirt bottle and a sponge or a sheetrock scraper or something. You have to take the outer layer off, and then you get down to the paper backing that's glued to your sheetrock. And, of course, the trick is to get that off without damaging the sheetrock.
Yeah.
Well, I did it, but honest to goodness, it is time-consuming. It took it. You're working in my spare time because I was working for the school district at the time, and so it took maybe, I don't know, a month. If I had done it straight through, I still think it would have taken 4 or 5, 8 or 10 hour days to do this. It's very time consuming, very tedious, and very you get tired of it. And so I said, after I did that, and the room turned out great, I got my texture and painted, and it's all behind me. But then, of course, I moved to another room, and I was faced the rooms that didn't have wallpaper now did have paneling, and so I painted that. That wasn't a problem. But all the bedrooms with the wallpaper. So when it came time to do the smallest bedroom, I said, you know, I know that people paint over wallpaper. I've seen it. And if it's done right, it doesn't look too bad. But the mistake most people make is they don't do any things with the seams in the wallpaper. And so you can still see where the different sheets of wallpaper are overlaid. And so that didn't suit me. That wasn't what I wanted to do. Well, nobody ever told me this, and I didn't read it in a book or anything. I just said, if they can paint over it, what would happen if I textured over it? Just pretended that I was already down to the sheet.
By texturing, you mean putting the stuff that you put on sheetrock.
On the sheetrock. Just what if I ignored the wallpaper and just pretended I was already at the sheetrock?
Yeah,
what if I did that?
Why not?
And so what I did is I went around the wallpaper, and I made sure that every seam was glued. And I bought the neatest little thing since sliced bread is an aerosol can of spray-on glue. If you haven't tried it, you need to try it. It works magic. And so I had my partner, my girlfriend, came, and we made sure all the seams were glued down so nothing would come.
I got a question about this spray-on glue.
Okay.
Is it like a WD-40 can? Does it have a straw that you could?
No, I don't know why you couldn't use a straw, but it kind of comes out not in real low pressure. I mean, it's just like, but it seems to be a pretty concentrated little stream.
And how thick is it?
It's real thin, and it's very cold, and I guarantee you, when you get it on you need to get some solvent to get it off. It will
really
stick. I didn't glue any fingers together with it, but you can get it off with a paint thinner and then go wash your hands real good. But in fact, that's the way I applied it. I sprayed it to the area, and then I always kind of take my finger and rub across it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there I was faced with, you know, I've decided I'm going to texture this wallpaper. So we made all sure all of the seams were glued. And then I said, well, I know that on just fresh sheetrock, you use a primer. And so I bought a gallon of primer, and I primed painted over the wallpaper, just like you would do if you were just going to paint it and leave it.
Yeah.
Well, to my astonishment and to my chagrin, I might say, the wallpaper bubbled, and I thought, oh, no, I really am going to have a mess. My God, it's all going to just fall off in the floor. That was probably the next morning, when the primer was good and dry, I guess it had a shrinking effect. That sheetrock was tight. I mean, the paper had all of the wrinkles were gone. All of the bubbling were gone. And it was just there like the sheetrock.
Let me just stop you 1 minute. How do you apply this primer?
With a brush. Just paint it like paint. Or a roller.
Of course, you got newspaper on the floor, so you're not going to screw up the carpet.
Right.
Is this something a blind total could do?
He could help. He could certainly help somebody. I mean, because it's sort of like mowing. You know, if you mow randomly over an area long enough and from different directions, you'll get most of it.
My mother used to come out and tell me what places I'd miss.
Right. If you roll paint and learn how to get it on your roller, and it's not necessarily messy, and they make different applicators, paint sticks are a good one. We'll talk about that maybe on another show. And a blind person knew how long the wall was and how wide the roller was. He could, you know.
You could pretty much do it, couldn't you?
And especially if you had, because even myself, I'm a very good partial, but I have a sighted partner that comes, like she's going to come and she'll say, you missed a spot there on the cabinet. She's going to come and help me. So, you know, just never turn down that help.
Okay, but point two is can you, if you got too much in one place, that wouldn't hurt anything, would it?
No, it's just a white, base coat. Okay. And, of course, that's what color I was painting my rooms anyway. And then the carpet was not a problem. Now, if you were painting, you know, finished over a brand new carpet, I wouldn't even paint. I can see. I just don't like, I'm not that good a painter.
Kind of call someone.
But this stuff could be done by a total. Okay.
And so after you get your primer on, like I said, when I got over my panic attack and the wrinkles were gone, then I said the one thing that I didn't care for that I've seen people who had just painted over wallpaper was the seams in the wallpaper show. And so I said, if you were sheetrocking a house and then you come to your taping and floating, some people call that mudding and bedding, I think. But anyway, if you tape and float, what I did, I didn't put tape on it, but I just floated with sheetrock mud over the seams. Used a 4-inch sheetrock knife, made a nice smooth seam of sheetrock mud over the wallpaper seams.
Now, I wonder, could you do that with your hands?
Well, I used a knife because it smooths it, and then you don't have to do sanding. And there again, it might be difficult for a blind person because I can see the excess and go get it off, but if you... Yeah. But you could. I'll get to the hands in a minute because that's exactly what I did later on in the process. But you won't either, whether you have to sand it or if you're real good with a sheetrock knife. I've gotten pretty good with it. I can usually lay one seam and not have to go back and sand it. I can make it smooth with the knife. But anyway, so wallpaper is what, 20 inches wide each strip. So on one wall, in a standard sized bedroom, you're probably looking at 8 seams. But it didn't take. I could do one whole wall in 15 minutes. I mean, it's not a big process. You let that dry, and then if there was any sanding on the seams, you go do that. Mm-hmm. And then, like I say, you've already got your primer and then you're coming to applying the texture. And, of course, there's different patterns that you can make, and I'm not a professional, so I really can't do the fancy ones, but I can do that. You can roll texture on with a roller, and it'll give you just the rough kind of sandpapery type standard, like a paint roller.
Which is what you want.
Depending on the nap of the roller, it depends on the bigness or the smallness of the roughage in your texture. But around here, a lot of places, there's what they call a crowfoot stomp. And you buy a brush. There's a brush made just for this purpose. And the bristles are laid out in a long oval. And when you slap it up against the wall, it leaves that print. And then you do it a different direction, and you can put it, you wind up doing at random. And this is why I say I believe a totally blind person could. I mean, I closed my eyes the other day and did half a wall, and it didn't look any different. It looked as good as the rest of my my texturing, and I just wanted to see if I could do it. And when I used my sheetrock mud, and I'll guarantee you in just a standard room, this room is probably 14 feet long by maybe 12, or it might be 16 by 13. It's a pretty good size bedroom. It took almost one whole bucket of mud, about a 5-gallon bucket.
Man.
And so I put it on real thick. But when it comes time to apply, after all your seams are dry and you're ready to roll, and you get your wall plug covers off and tape over the wall plug, unless you're going to change plugs. You don't want to get the mud on that.
No, you don't.
And then there again, like I say, a lot of people apply that. Now, I didn't thin my mud. I know if you were going to do a real fine finishing coat, some people can kind of add water if you've got a big power stirrer to stir it up. But I recommend not thinning your mud. You think it's so thick you can't work with it, but it's really not.
And it comes in a bucket.
It comes in a bucket or a box, a smaller box, I think a 1-gallon something box or two.
Yeah.
But this is a big 5-gallon, like a paint bucket. It's kind of hard to open. You have to cut the little tabs, to get the lid off. And you always want to cover it back when you're through.
Yeah, seal it back when you're finished.
It won't dry out. And so there I was faced with, how do I put the texture on? Like I said, some people use a roller. And it's kind of tedious, but I didn't want that fine. I wanted a real rough texture. And so what I did is I would just scoop a big blob, that's the only word for it, onto a big knife, a 6-inch sheetrock knife, and I just put it on the section of wall I was going to work, say maybe at the top, maybe head high. And then I'd go over to the right side and I'd put another big blob there. Then I'd put, so in an area maybe of, say, 6 feet wide, and of course the wall is 8 feet tall, just to say I was working with, say, 48 square feet, I'd usually let a window be a stopping point for this. Mm-hmm. I'd put maybe 5 or 6 of these big blobs randomly at different, kind of like, say, if you're a card player, you know how the 5 or 6 of diamonds looks, just 3 of it. And then I just took my hands, and in a circular motion, I started moving the texture around, putting it on the wall. And you got it probably where in an average probably of like a quarter of an inch thick thereabout. But that would vary according to your handprint or whatever. But I just smeared it on until I got all of these big blobs down to where the wall was completely covered with, you know, maybe an eighth of an inch or maybe just different.
And that's absolutely blind.
And that
doable.
Is blind. I mean, you could get your little kids. Little kids would love it. If you've got any little kids, just let them get in there and just, you can't hurt anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, I put it, you know, and of course, now before I started this, let me tell you another thing I did. I did mask my trim because I'm going to paint the trim, but I certainly didn't want to wind up cleaning sheetrock mud.
Yeah,
off.
Oh, sure.
Because you can clean the mud off, but it's a tedious project. And I have found a great discovery. Instead of using masking tape, which I, as a blind person, partially sighted, have trouble working with. It's too thin, and you getting it in the right edge. But back in the old shipping days, before plastic tape, they made a paper tape that has a glue, and you use a sponge or something.
I've got a roll of it.
I bought rolls. And if you'll wet one side of that and put it on your wood, remarkably, if you'll take it off pretty quick, it does not stick and leave the paper. A couple of places I did, and a sponge will take it right off after your texture's dry. But and don't use it on ceramic tile. Now the paper will stick, but just for woodwork. And so I mask all the door trim and all the baseboards, and then I got on with my project. And after you get this section, and that 48 square feet roughly is about as big an area as you want to work with, because your mud will start drying if you're not. And so then this brush I bought, and it cost about $6. And you can put it on a stick if you were going to do a ceiling. I didn't, but I just held the brush. It has a place to hold it in your hand. And you just slap it really against the sheetrock, say, and then you twist your arm maybe to the left, say, to 10 o'clock, and you hit it again. Then twist your arm back to the right, say, to 2 o'clock, and you hit it, and you just move around in this section until you get the pattern or the thickness that you think you want. And I did it randomly because the question would come up, how would a blind guy determine that? You don't want to just hit in one spot all the time, so you could move. But if you overlap, that's the beauty of the pattern. That's kind of how it makes the pattern. And so I just did it randomly. You get up, be sure to get close to the corners, the joints to your ceiling and all that, and do that. And if you just slap it one, just go across there, and like you could start at your, I have a little two-step plastic footstool that I bought at Walmart that'll get you where you can reach close to the ceiling. I get up on that and I do across the top. Then you come down about the length of your brush roughly.
And hit it again.
Hit it, go across your wall again, hit it, changing, and then you come down, and eventually you will cover the entire 8 feet. And I guarantee you, Don's wife, Mary, is perfectly sighted. Emily's perfectly sighted. They came in there and it looks like it's plaster. It looks like a beautiful, you cannot tell there was wallpaper ever on that wall.
Huh. What a deal.
That's amazing.
And, yeah, it saved a lot of work. Because, like I say, if I took the I knew when I took the wallpaper off that front room that I didn't want to make that my life's work and
yeah.
to do this whole house. And so after I did the little bedroom that my mom lived in, I did hers first, and it worked out good. And then I made a couple of modifications, and I changed my pattern when I got to the big master bedroom, and it's beautiful. It turned out to be a really...
So these are some things that, mm-hmm. that a totally blind person could do, but... You know, we've often said on this show, there's nothing wrong with asking someone who can see to help you do things.
Oh, I do. In fact, I get help when I don't even want it. You know, I mean, like, you know, Emily will come, you missed a spot.
Yeah.
And I said, well, thanks for telling me.
You know, you've met my wife, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right.
You, know. you missed a spot.
A lot of blind people just say, well, you know, if you have to ask for sighted help, then you couldn't do it. Well, that's not necessarily true. I do a lot of things. I get sighted help, but... for instance, the other day, my wife couldn't get her lampshade to stay on. Well, I put it on, so she got blind help. So
yeah.
she can get
yeah.
blind
works
help.
Both ways.
It works both
well,
ways.
And
it could be a team effort. So
yeah, and I think the secret of it is, you know, is don't be too proud to ask for it. But and if you can't, it's sort of like just say on an earlier show, I did a thing about changing a bicycle tire. Just maybe if you couldn't do it, you could tell someone how to do it. You know, I mean, so
you sure
if you yeah. had a partner that could, if you said, well, I think he said do it this way, and then they could see if it was working or not. So
that's right.
That's the neat thing. Just know how to do it.
You need yeah. to remember Michael Doucet's advice, and you need to take our advice and read our instructions carefully. If you don't,
don't hand her the matches.
Honey didn't mind handing them to him, did she?
Yeah.
Why don't we? Don, that was very good, sir.
Well, it turned out to be a beautiful job.
I don't have a wall to do, but I want to see you brush, and I want to see the tire change. Tool.
All right.
So try to bring those tomorrow.
We'll do that.
Let us kind of look at those. Listen, I tell you one thing. They won't have any talking signs in Minden, Louisiana.
No.
Big boy.
They sure won't.
Yeah, we got to drive over to a wedding here in the rain. I was kind of dreading it, but it's sometimes...
Oh, I thought you were looking forward to just riding along with Emily.
Oh,
be
well, I am looking forward.
Listening to the new Phil Parr album. I know that you'll just sort of, I would say exchanging pleasantries would be.
Yeah.
You folks have a good time. Thank you, Don. We'll see you next week. We'll be back with more of the Blind Handyman Show. And Shaw and I are going to talk a little bit about wiring speakers and about PVC pipe and how blind friendly it really is. Back in just a minute.
You can talk about ACB Radio programming with friends and other listeners, then you might want to join our ACB Radio Friends email list. You'll get all the announcement information you'd normally get from our ACB Radio announce list, and you can take part in email discussions with staff and listeners. All you got to do is send a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Tell me one more time.
Just a blank email message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. Keep in touch. ACB Radio, the station that is out of sight.
Hang out with other ACB Radio listeners. Talk with the hosts. Provide suggestions about the future of ACB Radio. It's all possible through the ACB Radio Friends List.
Thank you for being a friend.
Log on and sign up now. Send a blank message to friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. That's friends-subscribe@acbradio.org. And thank you for being a friend of ACB Radio.
For the latest breaking news stories, visit the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
We'll be right back.
is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Okay. Phil and me are going to talk a little bit on this segment about stereos. A lot of blind folks and sighted folks, for that matter, nowadays are into stereos and the whole entertainment center type of setup between stereos and televisions and speakers. So we're going to kind of go over and talk a little bit in this segment about wiring your speakers and kind of wiring up your system depending on what type of configuration that you have. I know probably back when I was 18 or 20 or so, when I'd wire up a stereo, you know, I wouldn't really think anything about it. Hell, I'd just run speaker wires anywhere, right across the middle of the wall. It didn't matter to me.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of do whatever you needed to do at the time. But luckily, I've kind of learned better since then that really, you know, you should kind of at least do it halfway neatly. So have kind of started at least paying more attention to wires and maybe running a wire under a carpet or at least along a baseboard or something rather than just running across the floor of the room or across the wall. And anyway, we're going to kind of go over that a little bit.
Okay, so Conley, did you hear the air conditioner come on in your headphones?
No, I didn't.
You can't hear it?
I was listening to this about the wire.
Was you
here
listening to another station?
No.
probably was.
Yeah. Tuned off and decided to listen to 95 FM.
That's right.
Well,
listening to another show.
I was thinking about all my wiring back in the 80s and 70s.
Well, yeah.
Wiring apartments and stuff.
Yeah,
well,
no
every place I've ever lived has memories of Phil Parr left because there's wire and nails and walls and staples
of wires, big nails,
wires and rumors of wires.
I used to put speakers in the bathroom. I used to put speakers in there.
I have speakers in every room in my house. Has a set of some sort of speakers where you can hear music, and it's just I'm obsessive compulsive about it. I want, you know, and I'm a wiring fool. I mean, I wire
wire all kind of things.
Yes, huh? I mean that's what I do. I have three different setups. I have, of course, this studio out here, which is a 24-track digital studio.
Lots of wires for John to count out here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if he wanted to count wires, we'd be here till next week.
We sure would, wouldn't
and
we?
And I have a computer in the house, which has a setup. I have a double cassette recorder there. I have a DAT machine in there, so I can record off the Internet. I can record either on tape or on DAT. Of course, I have a CD burner in my computer, but I have three sets of speakers hooked up to the computer. One, of course, to the... Anyway, then I have a setup by my chair.
Yeah.
I have a stereo in there. And you can listen. If everything is wired up correctly, you can play anything from any place and hear it anywhere. You can play it from the studio and hear it at the computer room or by my chair, or you can play it from the chair in the living room and hear it in the computer room or in the studio. You can hear anything, and that's
how it needs to be.
That's the way I do things, and I work long and hard. I realize that maybe my energies could have been spent better learning something useful, but that's what I do. And if you're one of those kind of people, I'm probably not an expert at it. But remember, in wiring speakers, if you want to wire, say you've got your stereo is here and you want speakers here and you have to go across a door, you can go across the top of the door jamb, or you can take the little strip up that separates the two rooms and run the wire under that strip. There's a natural wire trough under that strip.
It sure would be under
if
the threshold.
If you're going to run wire around carpet, unless it's glue-down carpet, if it's real carpet that's put out on a tack strip, and by the way, that's something we need to talk about.
Yeah, it is.
Sometime.
It sure is.
There is the tack strip is about a half an inch from the baseboard, from the quarter round to the baseboard, to the trim or whatever. And there's a little half-inch wire trough just made for running speaker wires at the edge of that carpet. You just pull the edge of the carpet up, and you can just sneak that wire down there and hide it, and nobody else, the old speaker will be there, and no one will ever know that you did.
Or sometimes you're just lucky enough, like over on North Street, I was just lucky enough to be able to poke the wire down. Actually, kind of just between the edge of the carpet and the baseboard, just by poking in with the end of a screwdriver or finger or something.
Oh, you can. So
sometimes you can get away with doing that.
You can just push it out.
You don't even have to lift up the carpet.
It'll flip under into that thing. Once you get it started, it's like putting on a tire. Once you get it started that little trough, you can go along.
You can work it in.
And work it into that little trough. Nobody will ever know you did. But if there's real carpet, there's always a little space between the tack strip. When I discovered that, I thought, this is wonderful. This is gold. Because no longer do I have to just,
for running speaker wires.
That's right. And, of course, I just put new speakers on my patio. I just bought Lowe's sells an excellent set of outside speakers for about $22. It's a fine little set of speakers.
Man, what a deal.
Take probably 20 watts of power. And I bought two sets. There's one that I put up on the back of the house, replaced the speaker. I had built some speakers on the back of the house 10 years ago, and they'd kind of gotten deteriorated. So I bought a new set, put them up, and I've got a set to go on this porch out here. Got to have speakers everywhere now, don't you?
Got to have them.
Yep.
So, you can run running wires through the attic. You can always, if you run running them through the attic, you can always come down in a corner. Just right in the corner. And if you want to, you can put a little piece of trim on that corner and hide the wires.
Yeah.
A little piece of trim that's kind of beveled outward.
Yeah.
To put in that corner and hide those wires. Because the sighted people don't like to see wires running across the floor.
No, they don't.
If you've got a sighted partner or anyone that's just not the way to do things.
And if you don't choose to go the carpet route, if you have to run, and sometimes you do, but if you have to run over the top of a door, up and around over the top of the door and back down,
yep.
Just be sure and staple it as close as you can to the trim, trim mold.
They make a staple gun, and those of you who don't know what a staple gun is, it's a thing that you put a row of staples in. And it was when you pull the trigger of the gun, it will fire a staple.
Yep.
It's a staple gun. They make a wire staple gun that the staples are humped, they come up at the top where they go over wire. In other words, they're not flat staples. They're rounded on top. So it's a wire staple gun.
Like the phone people.
People. You think the phone people are the only people who got them. Lowe's has got them. Home Depot's got them. Your hardware store's got a wire and staple gun.
Because I used to use a regular staple gun, and you'd have to make sure that you didn't get the staples in the wires.
That's where the wiring staple gun has a plus.
Of course, you have to make sure that you don't get the staples in the wire also. But it has a little trough for you that you put the wire staple gun over the wire and pull the trigger, and bingo, you got your wire tight.
That's the neatest feature of that gun right there.
And if you're a wiring fool like I am, you've got to have a wire staple gun. And we've always talked about one of the bad things about being blind is you don't know things they make. You don't know what's available, what tools are available.
That's right.
So you don't know that you can buy that sort of thing. Well, there's one thing that if you're a wire and you're wire speakers, you need a wire staple gun, and they're probably $20.
It'll save you a lot of time. It'll be neat.
Put a little LPS on it. Keep it lubricated. It'll last you. That's the only one you'll ever buy, unless you lose it.
And the same thing will also apply to if you should be running if you want to run an extra run of cable for cable TV in your house also.
Wire staple going to work for that.
With that. And then also just one other note here on the speaker wire too is that you can now buy speaker wire like in colors. Like you could buy a white or a light color if you were going to be like on a white sheetrock wall.
If somebody's going to see it, it'll be the same.
I've been known to buy speaker wire that on one side had ridges on it to where you could tell. One side was smooth and one side of the wire had ridges.
So you know what was left. Radio Shack makes nice speaker wire that's got
Zip cord, I think they call it, don't they?
Well, no, zip cord is the kind of cord you use on a lamp. Zip cord is just a flat is just piece of a cord like you'd wire up your a lamp with. This is actual speaker wire, and you're right, it's ridged on one side and it's not ridged on the other, so you'll know if you decide, just make a decision. The left side is the ridged side, the right side is the other side, and so you know how to hook
the wires up.
That's right.
And keep them the same on
that's
both
right.
ends.
Wire nuts, Scotch locks to put wire together. Call me. I know all about I'm a wiring fool and always have. My daddy got me started doing this kind of stuff. He was a ham radio operator, and he got me started wiring things. So Anyway, wire up speakers and hide the wires and make sure you are. But go buy you a wire staple gun. Let us know how you did.
But, boy, on the new entertainment centers and things with the new stereos and with the subwoofers and the satellite speakers, like for your TV and all the wires and cables, boy, it can get to be, you know, fairly
surround
involved.
Surround sound and all.
Yeah, surround sound with your four or six speakers or whatever you've got for that.
Well, they always say, you know, used to when we played dance jobs, we'd go in, hang two speakers on the wall, set up our little Bogan PA set, a little flat microphone, and do the job. Now you've got big speakers on gigantic rollers.
Yeah, bring no kidding. Whoa.
Play your job. But anyway, I've got a nice set of PV speakers I sure would like to sell.
Yeah.
They're almost as good as these.
Well, how about keeping your speakers in phase, or like making sure that the left speaker is actually going to the left channel and things like that on your stereo.
That's easy enough when you hook it up. Turn the balance control to the left and make sure it's left, and turn it to the right, make sure it's right. But speakers have to be what's called in phase. In other words, the cone on that speaker has to move the same direction. If a bass note hits and the cone on the left speaker is moving in and the cone on the right speaker is moving out, they will cancel each other if you're sitting in the stereo pattern. If you're sitting between them, they'll cancel. They're out of phase. And the way you know that is listen to the bass notes on a song, and then switch two of the wires on one of the speakers. If you have less bass, they were in phase. If you have more, they were out. And you can sit between the speakers and move your head left and right. If you move your head to the left and the bass increases, and to the right increases, but right in the middle, it's almost gone, then your speakers are out of phase. Just swap two wires around and bingo.
Now that's good to know. That's a good hint.
Your speakers are then in phase, because you'll lose that bass response if you're in the stereo pattern.
But you got to be right in the middle.
You have to be in the middle to hear stereo separation.
Yeah, for this to really apply.
But blind people are very attuned to stereo.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Lots of them are. Very attuned to hearing guitar over here and something over here. Like we're in stereo. And so if you're sitting in the middle and you're losing the bass, you lean to the left and it's more in the right and it's more, then they're out of phase. Just switch one speaker and bingo.
Yeah.
That bass will come back up. You'll be back in phase. Did you know that little trick, Conwood?
Oh, yeah, I sure did.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you learn it from me?
No, I already knew it.
You learned it from Bill Bragg, didn't you?
Oh, no, hell no.
Well, he is a personal friend of Bill Bragg.
Or you could eliminate a little bit of this wiring if you went down, like Mr. Conley's fixing to do here in a little while, if you went down to your local electronics store and bought you a small little transmitter.
A little IROC transmitter.
Yeah.
It will do, what do we figure, 40 feet?
Yeah, I would say so.
It'll do 40 feet plugged into the back of your...
probably.
Yeah. Our little test this morning, it was about 40 to 45, probably.
I'd say so.
Well, we're fixing to go to Radio Shack and buy a couple. Did you want to talk about PVC pipe, Donald?
Oh, might talk a little bit about PVC pipe, changing the whole subject here. Well, I guess you could run your... Hell, I guess you could run your speaker wire through PVC pipe if you really wanted to.
I guess you could.
Yeah.
Why not? If you want to get fancy, you could.
I guess if you had a mobile home, you could drill a hole in your floor, run it down through your PVC pipe and up through the other side of the next room of the home there.
It would protect it, I guess.
If you were in a mobile home, it would be wonderful. I never have lived in one, but it'd be wonderful running speakers. Just run them down through the floor and bring them up through the other end.
Yeah, no kidding.
I might move into one just for that reason.
That'd be the way to do that.
Move into a mobile home.
One in Burke for sale.
Get me a Toyota and a mobile home. That's what I need.
That's right.
There's one in Burke for sale.
Got it.
The only problem with that one is Martha goes with it.
Oh.
Only kidding. Martha. Cleta, if you're listening, it was my idea. Tom had nothing to do with that.
Absolutely
nothing.
That's right.
Anyway, PVC pipe is a very blind friendly thing if you don't know that.
It is. If you live in a mobile home or if you live anywhere and you need like to run a faucet or something outside, an extra water hydrant in your yard somewhere, you can get into your main water system wherever you need to, and you can buy adapters that go from like galvanized pipe to PVC. And really, for a blind person, like Phil said, that's the easiest way to run your pipe to whatever you need, because it's easy to cut. They make a tool that Phil can tell you about that he just happens to have that will cut PVC pipe neat, smooth, perfect cuts every time.
Yeah.
I was shown that one time.
Yeah, it's a neat tool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you just put the PVC pipe in it and pull the jaws together, and bingo, it'll cut PVC pipe right in two. Then I also have another one that's a pipe cutter that you tighten up. You keep tightening it and turning it around the pipe, and it'll eventually cut it.
That's
it'll
the
cut,
one I saw.
It'll cut galvanized pipe. But I've
it'll
got another
galvanized
one.
Also.
This other one is just a PVC pipe cutter. That's what it's made for. And you just put the PVC pipe in there. It's like a pair of pliers. You clamp down, and, buddy, it cuts it right
into. That'd be the way to go. Any what, from a quarter up to probably, what, an inch, inch and a half pipe?
I'd say it'd probably cut an inch and three-quarter piece of pipe.
Bigger than you'd probably need to.
Yeah, it's adjustable. You know, it'll cut.
But, yeah, it sure beats the old hacksaw days. And you can cut PVC pipe with a hacksaw, but, man, it's easy to get off a little bit crooked or whatever. And then, of course, when you put your joint together, it may not be real straight and smooth. Anyway, that's the way to cut the pipe. And then you have you need to buy a can of PVC glue. It comes in a small can with a little brush. The lid type thing that screws into the top of the can.
Yeah, the brush is attached to the lid.
The brush is attached to the lid. When you unscrew it, brush, lid, and all comes out in one segment. Well, let me back up here. Before you actually put the glue onto the joint, you need to buy another little can that looks the same way, got the same kind of brush, and it's just a PVC type cleaner. It's like a primer, really, is what it's like.
Yeah.
And when you run this stuff around the pipe, the end of the pipe, and the end of the elbow, or whatever you're going into, it primes it and kind of gets it ready for the glue. And you let it dry, put the glue on, and put it on the outside of the pipe, on the inside of the next joint. Stick them together. Push them together well, because you what, Phil? Maybe you've got a minute window there, a minute and a half.
I was
going to
say, when you push them together, buddy boy, you better have it where you want it, because you're not going to get it apart.
You'll cut it apart. It won't come apart.
That's right. Because once you put it together, that's it.
And the can of glue and the can of cleaner look exactly alike, and you think, well, how am I going to tell them apart? Well, I'll tell you how. The can of cleaner, you can shake. You can hear fluid moving around in that can. The can of glue, you cannot. The glue is thick, and it doesn't slosh
that's
around.
Good.
The can of cleaner, you can pick it up and shake it, and you can hear it, that fluid moving around in there.
That's right.
Speaking of hearing fluid moving around. Anyway, PCV pipe, very, very blind friendly. Tell us about email, Shawboy.
Well, if you need to send an email or want to send an email on today's show, you would need to send to Blind Handyman, all one word, no spaces, all small letters, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. And send us any ideas you got, any suggestions, any comment on the show is welcome. I'll be glad
absolutely
to have
welcome. Well, we want to thank our guests that we've had today. They're starting to look a little hungry. About time to feed them again, isn't it?
Big burger time here before long.
We've got John Bennett visiting with us, who we've known for since 1950, and we're still friends, and that's pretty amazing in and of itself, isn't it, when you think about
that
it?
That works out, though.
John from Dallas and John Conley from Dallas, we're glad to have you folks with us. And, we'll do this again. This is the fall edition of Blind Weekend, which we'll do again in probably the spring. Maybe we'll just do two next year. Maybe we'll do none. I have no idea.
Time
Don Patterson's Don Patterson's girlfriend has taken him away to go to a wedding, and we thank him for being with us. Don Shaw, John Conley, John Bennett, Tom Houston. I'm Phil Parr. And we'll see you tomorrow. Oh, don't forget, if you want to be a guest on the show, be sure and let us know. We'd love to have you. And we'll see you next week. I see, said the blind man. He picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.